our good friend from Talk of Fame Radio Network, longtime NFL journalist, and some great columns on that site. Clark Judge joins us. You can smell the field turf, Clark, when it's the night before 12 venues are hosting NFL preseason games, can't you?
You can. I can just smell the cars going by my house here. That's the only thing I smell. Yeah, it seems every year we go, God, it's come around already. I stayed up to midnight watching the Yankees last night. I go, if the football's come out, oh my gosh. Seems to come earlier and earlier. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are very excited about it. I think people in places like maybe, Toronto and Kansas City and places where their teams aren't going very well in baseball. But I think it's a good week to see what's going on there and see some of those quarterback battles you talked about.
So, and four first round picks. This seems like a swing of the pendulum the other way, where if you, basically a lot of times in the last 5 years, if you were drafted in the first round, you were getting in pretty early. Even Geno Smith, the Jets famously went with him very early in that one season. And yet the four guys, the two Joshes, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, who just got to camp last week, it feels like there's not a major commitment, and there's almost a pullback even from Hugh Jackson I don't know. It didn't work with Cody Kessler and it didn't work with Deshaun Kizer. We got to be patient with guys, but that's a number one pick. And that's the franchise also that gave Tim, that probably did everything wrong with Tim Couch back in 1999. Is there a battle among those four going against veteran guys like your Teddy Bridgewaters and like your Tyrod Taylors that you go, I'm sure that young quarterback, that first round pick is starting in week one?
No. I mean, Darnold, to me, is the closest guy. Darnold would be the guy, but I think McCown would be the starter just because you want Darnold to sit and learn a little bit. He got in late, as you mentioned. To me, he's the most ready of those four guys. But, what you're talking about in Cleveland, Hugh Jackson's made it clear, I'm not starting the rookie. You know, we're going to start with Tyrod Taylor. Let's see how long that lasts. I mean, it's great to say it now. If they stumble coming out of the block, which is a distinct possibility considering they won one game in the last 2 years, there's going to be all sorts of pressure to play the quarterback. And Baker Mayfield's looked pretty good from all accounts in practice. He's a number one pick. It's tough to keep a number one pick nailed to the bench, but it was the Bengals of all teams that did it with Carson Palmer back in, I don't think it was 2004, 2003, something like that, and played John Kitna instead.
That's right.
And more power to him. And then they were 8-8 with him. But you're going with a team that's won one game in 2 years, and the fans aren't going to be patient. And so when Tyrod Taylor starts to screw up, throws an interception, every time he makes a mistake, there's going to be pressure to put the number one pick in at some point this year. And I think sooner rather than later, you're going to see Baker Mayfield.
Clark, I want to rewind to this weekend because there was obviously, I mean, anytime you use Terrell Owens' name, there's something headline about it. He's just a guy that knows how to make headlines. And he, you know, may change the way that the Hall of Fame does their induction. If you don't agree to come, apparently this is the rumor, you won't get in. What were your thoughts on the way he handled himself this weekend? And what are your thoughts on the voting system as a whole? Is it flawed the way he says it is?
The process can be tinkered and changed. Yeah, I don't know what his suggestion is. I mean, he says the sports writers and broadcasters, hey, there are two ex-players in there too, Terrell. I don't know what you want to do because people say, I've heard someone say, well, you know, it was a grudge that kept him out for 3 years. No, it wasn't. It was Terrell Owens that kept himself out for 3 years. If you want to do it just by numbers, and the thing, I'm so worn out with this guy. I covered him, and I've been through this with the Hall of Fame process. You want to go strictly by numbers? Yeah, put him in and be first ballot guy and put Wes Welker in next, because he should be a first ballot guy too. There's more to it than that. And if you were in that room, you'd understand people talk to the coaches. They talk to teammates. They hear what they say. They talk about what their behavior was in the huddle, on how much they were a go-to guy, that sort of thing, how they were on the field, what kind of impact they had on the team. And this was a guy who was, you know, kicked to the curb by five clubs. Andy Reid got rid of him 8 months after he could have been the Super Bowl MVP, and for a good reason, because he's an inveterate narcissist, and he doesn't understand that. And yet, you know, here's a guy who complained for 2 years about, I'm not getting in, not getting in. And then once he says, I'm not going. Well, that's his prerogative. He can do that. I don't care whether he has it in Tennessee or Kathmandu. He can go wherever he wants and hold his own induction. But I thought the Pro Football Hall of Fame handled it the right way. Essentially, they said, you don't want to be part of the ceremony? We're going to acknowledge your wish and grant you your wish. You're not going to be part of the ceremony. Now, going forward, if that happens again, and the foreseeable future, I can't see it, but I never say never. Who knows? Mm. I think what the Hall should do is exactly what's done now. Nothing. I mean, this idea of having people sign the document is ridiculous. You cause more trouble. It's an overreaction to a guy who demands attention. So I just simply say you just do nothing because you've set a precedent. He set a precedent. So if the next guy wants to do it in Alaska or wherever he wants to do it, fine. Terrell Owens did it where he wanted to, and he missed out on a lot of things that he could have and probably should have been part of. And I'm not saying for the Hall of Fame's benefit, for his benefit. He missed out on a lot of things. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, there are a lot of Pro Football Hall of Famers, Gold Jackets, who are very, very upset with him. Not us, not the voters. They were. And he has to live with that. And he missed a great opportunity. I feel sorry for him because anytime he seems to have success, such as the Super Bowl, he screws it up, and he did it, you know, then we did this, the sit-ups in the driveway, and then Andy Reid got rid of him because of how he dealt with numbers of people in that organization. And then he has this opportunity. It's a great individual achievement, and he wasn't part of it. Feel sorry for the guy, but he can do what he wants. The Pro Football Hall of Fame should do absolutely nothing. They should do just what they did this time.
7:21, Clark Judge joining us, NFL Insider, Talk of Fame Radio Network. So I mentioned the team's playing tomorrow night. There's a good chance Deshaun Watson's going to see the field. We're excited to see how he's rehabbed. Let me stick with the NFC South. They play at Arrowhead against the Chiefs tomorrow night. He might get some time. So two injuries. Speak to both of them if you can. J.J. Watt, haven't seen much of him the last couple of years. Hasn't been able to finish seasons. And obviously Andrew Luck. Like, that division, every game in that division to me looks like a great game because the Jags kind of beat up on all those teams last year with missing bodies, Texans, Titans, etc., although they lost games to the Titans. But J.J. Watt and Andrew Luck are probably the two names that we're most eager to see as to whether they're healthy or not. What do you know about both those guys and where they're coming at? Will we see Andrew Luck in week one?
Yeah, I think we would, and I think we should, simply because he needs to play. He hasn't played in over 500 days and taken a snap, but he needs to play, and I think we would just briefly. You know, I think three of those teams in that division would be pretty good. I don't think the Colts are going to be great just because their defense, the other side of the ball, they've got so many question marks on that side of the ball. They're very weak on that side. And Andrew Luck, you want to see him play. I don't know how good he's going to be. He's missed a lot of time, comes off a serious injury, but I think he does need to get in there and take some snaps. J.J. Watt, on the other hand, I'd be very careful how I handled him. He's had a series of injuries, and when he's good, we know he's one of the best, if not the best, defensive player on the field. But I would be very careful with that. I'm more interested in Deshaun Watson on that team. Mm-hmm. He really electrified them last year. He also is coming off a serious injury, but he's young, should be resilient. Nevertheless, it's a serious one that I would like to see him get in there and take a few snaps, just see how he does, and also just get him comfortable. Just get him comfortable with the situation. But again, yeah, those are two guys among others. But of the three, I think I'm really most interested in seeing Watson just because of what he did last year. They were a different team with him. And that's a team I'd be very careful of this year because I think they finished last year. They're going to be dangerous. The Texans will be dangerous.
They'll be very good. Clark, we'd love talking with you. Thanks very much for this.
You got it, guys. Thank you.